Thanks for listening to the Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
Now let's get this party started.
You're listening to Fox Sports Radio.
Ah, here we go. Hour number two, hour one flew by. Live in Los Angeles, it's the Herd. Wherever you may be, however you may be listening. My son went paragliding this weekend, Joey. I went up to the cliffs of Malibu and watched my son jump off a cliff. That was harrowing, to say the least.
That's how he said it. He was in the Herd makeup room this morning. My son jumped off a cliff. I'm like, what are you talking about? Yeah. I'm not afraid of heights. I don't enjoy them, but I'm not. I don't have like a fear of heights.
I'm not afraid of heights. I'm afraid of what heights could do if I don't manage them correctly. Because you're way up there.
Yes, I'm much more aware. I'm much more intentional.
Yeah.
When I am, but I don't mind hiking. I don't mind being like up high.
My daughter did a bungee jump in Cape Town, South Africa, off a bridge.
Mm-hmm.
It's the biggest bungee jump in the world. I thought she was out of her gourd. I can't. You know, she was in another country, another continent.
Yeah.
And then my son, this is all he's been talking about for weeks. And so I went and, you know, we found a really good company and it was like he had the time of his life. He was cloud nine the entire weekend.
Yeah, I'm not a skydiver, bungee jumper, paraglider. I did the one over the ocean once.
Yeah, I've done that before. Yeah.
Yeah, but it's like, you know, you're over the ocean. It's pretty high up, but like I feel like I can kind of float down or something. So it's not as bad. You know, not over like rocks, but yeah. I mean, there's lots of hills and cliffs and stuff out here. So.
What do you do when you're a dad and your kids are daredevils? And it's tough. Wait, what do I do?
Have an extra Corona.
Yeah, that's what I did. where Colin was right, Colin wrong, brought to you by Jersey Mike's Subs. Get to the mobile app, delivery to your door, or pick up Jersey Mike's. Be a sub above. Game day Saturday is now free when you order through Jersey Mike's app, which is really quick to download. Here we go.
Where Colin was right.
4-1 on the Blazing Five. I took the Saints in the points, the Vikings in the points, the Lions in the points, and Dallas to blow out Atlanta. So I can't explain Cleveland. That was one of two jaw droppers for me, maybe two or three this year. I never in a million years thought the Patriots would beat them by 30. and that's just another story altogether for the Browns.
Where Colin was wrong.
I really thought Tampa, it was going to be smoother than last year, but I got Arians ripping Brady. They had only 47 plays off a bye. They were awful offensively. They never had the football. Maybe like Jimmy Johnson said, it's a Gronk thing, an AB thing, but they've now been crushed by the Rams, rolled by the Saints. You know, turnovers and penalties are one thing, but they're just not very good on third down. And defensively, they're not getting key stops. So I didn't think it would look anything like it this year. For them off a bye, remember last year off the bye, they changed everything. This year off a bye, I mean, this game wasn't as close as the score told you. It wasn't 29-19. It felt worse than that.
Where Colin was right.
I've said all along, Baker Mayfield can win if everything's perfect. If you have a great roster, which Cleveland does. If you have a great coach. If he's got time to throw. If he's comfortable in playing with a lead. But he's 26 years old, still makes bad decisions. He's 500 as a starter and a passer rating lower than Teddy Bridgewater. And by the way, he was 11 for 21 for 73 yards against Belichick with a 56 passer rating. Well, he was missing a running back or two. Yeah, it's called the NFL. Everybody is. Oh, he was missing a right tackle. You can't be a star quarterback in this league if everything has to be an all-star team. Dallas Cowboys, Tyron Smith, Hall of Fame left tackle, is rarely available. They've missed Michael Gallup all year. Dak's still getting points. In the end, do we have to keep debating it? Baker's 27 and 27. That's what he is. He's good enough to be a starter. He's not special.
Where Colin was wrong.
I had the Philadelphia Eagles as a bottom three team in the league, and they're not great, but they're dangerous. I mean, Jalen Hurts only threw three times in the second half, but he and Devontae Smith... Listen, they're second place in the NFC East. They're still up for a wild card. I thought Nick Sirianni would be a disaster. About every other weekend, they shock you. Jalen Hurts, I thought he had a low ceiling. But they didn't have Miles Sanders, and they were still productive. I find him to be fascinating. I think Jalen Hurts is fascinating. All I know is I look up, they're in Denver, and they're rolling the Broncos, who rolled the Cowboys. I don't think they're a great team. I don't know what you do with Jalen Hurts. I'm not exactly sure what you do. I really don't, but I'll tell you this. Some of their draft picks are hitting. He's productive, and they're better than I thought.
Where Colin was right?
I don't like picking blowouts. I said Friday, Dallas going to blow out Atlanta. This is a good football team, okay? Bury the tape. I said, we didn't even talk much about the Cowboys last week. I'm like, it didn't exist. This isn't a UFO sighting where you debate it for hours. Was that a tic-tac, or do we have Martians on the planet? This was they're really good, and they play like lousy football. This is not debatable. They have 8 elite players. They got playmakers in every unit. Dak is now a certifiable top 10 quarterback. It's the best Cowboy team in 20 years. They block punts. They got playmakers. It happens. This season's 17 games, folks. This isn't college football. Sometimes you're not ready to play. You just lay an egg. This is an excellent team, and we said they would blow out Atlanta, who had been playing hot.
Where Colin was right.
I said Friday on the show, I said, Carolina just needs energy at quarterback and players like Cam. And Cam's not my favorite quarterback, but he comes in yesterday, and there's no question. There's a belief system in that locker room, in that city with Cam, and here's Cam Newton.
Re-signed with the Panthers on Thursday. Just 3 days ago, McCaffrey split out wide to the right. Newton takes the snap, and he is in for a Panthers touchdown.
Sam Darnold doesn't make that play. I swear to you, this is a playoff team if they just don't turn the ball over. When Sam Darnold didn't turn it over, they were like 3-0. So, like, he added energy. Didn't have to be the future. He's better than what you have.
Where Colin was wrong.
He shouldn't be fired, but the Sark thing in Texas is a mess. You can't be a 30-point favorite against a basketball school and lose to Kansas. Lane Kiffin and Sark will always be tied together because of the USC days. Lane Kiffin's an excellent head coach. We're seeing it for a second time. Sark, I don't know what it is. They've lost 5 straight. They have a really good defensive coordinator, but it's not working. Maybe he's just a great coordinator. That happens, and not a great coach. Again, they're so bad defensively. And Tom Herman, say what you will about him, could recruit. It's not like they don't have any players. Now, most of their good players, I think, are on offense. But I thought it would look better than this. Outside of Iowa State, they have scored points, but you can't lose to Kansas. This is Texas. Kansas doesn't have 4 players that Sark would even recruit. It shouldn't be this bumpy.
Where Colin was right.
I never bought into this Robert Saleh narrative that it was going to be a great head coach. I'm like, are we even sure he was a great coordinator in San Francisco? Shanahan's play calling is what we talked about. Their defense is abysmal and getting worse. I'm always concerned when the coach has a side of the football, and that's the worst side of the football. Like, they've given up 45 points or more in 3 or 4 games. That hasn't happened since the mid-60s. And so, again, he's got energy. He's a good-looking guy. I liked his story. I thought his story was great. And in the media, we fall in love with stories. But the team looks lost. Offensively, they don't get the ball to the best players. And defensively, you can't regress on the side of the ball. Like, say what you want about Sark, the offense is fine. If you're a defensive coach, Pete Carroll, Robert Saleh, your defense can't get worse. And it does every week.
Where Colin was right.
Russell Westbrook is exactly what we predicted on this show. Friday, he had a -32. He's a mess. But you know what? In the 6 games he's played that LeBron's been out, he's given you 19 points in 36 minutes. And you could not win any of these games without him. But yet, his 3 losses are all teams that are sub-500. This is the maddening part about Westbrook. He's a turnover machine, but this Laker team needs energy and intensity and hustle and passion because they're old, and Westbrook gives you that. Yeah, does he drive me nuts in crisis? Is his judgment crazy? I've said before, there's no nuance to his game. He goes 100 miles. He's a sports car with no brakes. It just goes, and it looks great. When it's great, it flies by, and you're like, wow. But I think he has been exactly what we thought. They need his minutes. They need his intensity. They need his passion. They need his production. But, man, about every other night, you are shaking your head going, dude, just shift down a little. Just shift. Just We're going through a part of town. You got to slow down. There's some kids here. We school zone. Slow down. Just slow down the car a little bit. And that's not how he plays. He just plays fast all the time, and a lot of times is out of control. He is what he is. By the way, the other thing about it is, as LeBron gets older, these little injuries, he misses more and more time. Anybody noticing that? That's what happens. A lot of good stuff. Trent Dilfer around the corner. OBJ plays tonight. I'm very interested. Here's my prediction for it. So the Rams tend to do a lot of 11 personnel. It kind of looks the same. They do some deception out of it. My prediction is they're going to have different looks with OBJ. Now, I don't think they'll have a ton tonight because he's only had a couple of practices. But my prediction on the Rams, over the next 2 to 3 weeks, they need OBJ. Like, now that Robert Woods is out, they need him. It's Cooper Kupp, Van Jefferson, OBJ, and a rookie from Notre Dame. And they've lost other guys to injuries. Like, they need OBJ. This is not a, all right, he fills out a jersey. Like, they need 7 targets and 5 catches every Sunday or tonight, Monday. So I think you're going to see him. If Robert Woods isn't hurt, this move didn't do a thing for me. He's a little bit of a life preserver at wide receiver right now. So one of the things I like about OBJ, I love, it's like Cam. It's like, what is the Cam signing? Oh, no. Let's not bury that player yet. He's kind of valuable. The OBJ thing, after the Robert Woods news came out this weekend, the Rams need him tonight. And they really need him going forward. Because we know Dallas has a lot of weapons. We know Arizona's got a lot of weapons. We know Tampa's got a lot of weapons. Green Bay can score. Like the Rams are a passing team. So I cannot wait to watch OBJ tonight. I was watching Cam yesterday. I'm like, it's just what the doctor ordered. They needed energy. That touchdown, Sam Darnold didn't give you that touchdown. Cam gives it to you.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
This week on Thursday Night Football, Mac Jones leads the Patriots to Atlanta to battle Matt Ryan and the Falcons. It all starts at 7:30 Eastern, 4:30 Pacific on Fox, NFL Network, and streaming on Prime Video.
Okay, this game's very interesting. So now you take a rookie quarterback, you put him on the road. Atlanta was just embarrassed. Mark my words. I mean, we forget this is hard. So you take a rookie quarterback, you send him to Atlanta, and now I got Matt Ryan, who's been around taking a lot of snaps, and they were just humiliated, and they were playing pretty well. Watch how close this game is.
I don't think they'll be humiliated again. That was a disaster, but... Mac Jones is playing pretty well.
All right. Hey, is Trent Dilfer around this hour? Is he close? Oh, he's right now. You guys didn't put it on the screen? I didn't know if Trent was there. So he played for 15 years, got a Super Bowl and a Pro Bowl. He's our friend, Super Bowl champ Trent Dilfer, now joining us. You know, it is interesting. We were saying last week that all the young quarterbacks were kind of what we thought. We said Trey Lance won't be ready. Trevor Lawrence is really good. But he's got to carry a lot. Justin Fields is a ridiculous athlete, but I don't know if he can overcome that O-line and stuff. And we went through him, and then we said Mac Jones. We're like, God, did he get a great place to land? The ceiling is, you know, maybe lower. But and then I watch him, and I'm like, he made a couple throws yesterday, and I'm like, do I have to reevaluate Mac Jones? I mean, what do you see with him? Because he made 2 throws yesterday, and I was like, okay, those were veteran big boy throws.
Well, I think what you saw really since week one was he plays the game at a very high level in the sense from his eyes and his feet. So he starts in the right place. He knows what he's looking at. He doesn't make very many careless mistakes. He understands the point of each play within the game. And now as he's growing in the position, this is what you saw yesterday. Now you're starting to see the horsepower come out. And that was something in Alabama that was a question mark, is how much horsepower did he have?
Right.
And then as that season wore on, you started to see more and more horsepower come out. Some people said, well, he's throwing to the greatest receivers on the planet. I think there's a little bit to that, but you get those guys in the NFL too. So what you saw yesterday was professional quarterbacking, as it's been all year long, now matched with more horsepower than people gave him credit for. And there's that flash and sizzle wow element to his game. Now, it's not going to be all the time, and it's not going to be with his feet, But he's got plenty of arm talent to make your jaw drop at times and force the ball into small places.
Yeah, and he's also now he and Hunter Henry have a little relationship. You can see that's getting bigger. So let's just stay in the game with Baker. Listen, we're 54 games in. He's 27-27. He's probably better than I give him credit for, but his passer rating's about Teddy Bridgewater's. And I looked at yesterday and I thought, there's one thing to lose, but I always look at this. Do the coaches trust him? He's throwing the ball 20 times a game. 11 completions, 73 yards, and I know he didn't have his right tackle. I get it. This league's brutal. Like you never get the full unit. But my takeaway on Baker today after that game is there's a reason. They don't want to do what the Rams did with Goff. You pay him a year early, and then you're sitting there thinking, we got a ceiling here. Where are you today with Baker Mayfield?
I really haven't changed. I've always felt that Baker could be a above average a very good system quarterback. There are guys that transcend systems. There's a handful of them that your elite quarterbacks in the NFL are going to, doesn't matter what play you call, doesn't matter what system you're in, they're going to make it function at a very high level. Then you have your guys that are very dependent upon the play calling, who's healthy, the matchups you're in. And I think that's where Baker Mayfield fits is a guy that he is dependent upon Nick Chubb playing. Nick Chubb doesn't play. He's dependent upon his right tackle playing. His right tackle doesn't play. He's dependent upon the play calling to dial up the right plays at the right time. And when you see those things don't go well, then his performance is going to be down.
Yeah. So, you know, I said watching Green Bay and Seattle, it was a classic game where neither quarterback, you know, one just had COVID, didn't practice a ton, and the other one had been hurt and didn't practice, and this stuff's hard. You just, even for Aaron, you can't just skip practice. Like, this stuff is a lot of work, and it's a lot of mechanics, and it's a lot of timing. But then, when Aaron and Russell didn't play well, Green Bay still does a lot well. And I said, you know, you can fight and argue with coaches. But Green Bay doesn't need a ton of draft picks, Trent, because they don't have a lot of holes. And they'd only have one hole. That would be quarterback if they let Aaron go. And I do think to myself, not every, you know, a lot of different flavors of ice cream. Aaron can be, you know, a little California cool for my taste. But I look at today and I think to myself, you know what? Just get over it. Just get over it. Go to Aaron and say, kid, we'll move off Jordan Love 4 or 5 more years. Because I don't think he's on the market. And by the way, Trent, you and I have talked about this. Green Bay doesn't get big free agent signings. So you better be special at quarterback. Because you're not going to go get an OBJ on the market. I look at Green Bay and I think to myself, can we just make this work? I mean, where are you on Aaron in the relationship with the organization?
You know, I couldn't agree more. I think with Aaron, it's... You have to say as an organization, listen, we need this guy. We need him more than we know, than everybody even says we need him. We need to make him happy. And he's going through a little bit of a rough time right now. You come off the offseason where he wasn't feeling real loved. Two off seasons ago when we dropped Jordan Love, he wasn't feeling a lot of love. He's getting hammered by the national media. His Q rating's down right now. This is a time where we can come in, wrap our arms around him and say, listen, we can't do this without you. How do we make you happy? I don't think it's unrealistic to say that's the move they have to make if they want to keep Aaron Rodgers in Green Bay for the next 4 to 6 years. And we all know the chance they have of winning Super Bowls depends on whether 12's on that team or not.
By the way, Trent has a podcast, Beyond the X's and O's with Trent Dilfer. It's outstanding. I've listened. Also the coach at Lipscomb Academy. And so I want to ask you about Kansas City last night. And last week we said, listen, they are beating the teams they're supposed to beat. New York, Philadelphia. It's inartistic, but who cares? They're W's. Get on a plane and get out of town and be happy if you're healthy. And then I watched them last night, and I'm like, okay, all right. What did you see as a coach and a player? What did they do?
It was beautiful, and I kind of said this a couple weeks ago when people were saying the sky was falling there. I said there's no better person to handle this than Andy Reid because he dealt with it with Brett Favre. He dealt with it with Donovan McNabb. When your Superman player goes off the rails and tries to do too much, you got to get it back to boring. People say back to basics. No, you got to get back to boring. Boring for these Superman-type quarterbacks are 6-yard completions, 8-yard completions, little sprint outs. Like the boring stuff that I did the first couple weeks in training camp and I can do with my eyes closed. I really want to do the fun stuff. And Andy Reid says, no. We got to get things back to balance again. Let's go back to boring. We're going to hand the ball off a little bit more. We're going to run some of our basic install plays. We're going to get you highly efficient again. And then once we get really good at the boring, then we'll be explosive again. And Patrick's bought into that. For the last 2 weeks, they've been boring. Super boring on offense, and boring works efficient works. It keeps your defense off the field. Their first three drives last night, I don't know how the drive charts in front of me, but I want to say like 11, 13, and 14 play drives, something in that realm. Yep, they held the ball. Guess what that does for your defense? They're over there going, man, my legs feel good. Man, my neck doesn't hurt that bad. I'm going to go bring it this next series because I'm not hurting. I'm rested. I'm not trying to catch my breath. Your offensive linemen are happy because they're going forward all game long instead of backwards in pass protection. And it's just kind of some of these great NFL coaches, Andy being one of them, he just knows the time when to balance the thing out, get his team back together and say, okay, how do we play complementary football? And it's usually going a little boring offensively, and that's what you're seeing. And it takes the quarterback to buy in. I remember playing Brett Favre when I was in Tampa. He was in Green Bay. He had a bad game leading into a game. We go up there in Green Bay, threw a few picks, and everybody's expecting him to kind of be crazy, and he just sits there and just slices and dices all day long, goes like 28 of 34, didn't do anything spectacular, just went back to the boring basics, and Holmgren and Andy kind of got him back that way against a good Tampa team back in the 90s, and that's a way of just getting everybody going the right direction again and playing good team football. Now, will they be explosive at the end of the year? Yes, if they can maintain this boring approach and be consistent, then they can get back to explosive late in the year.
All right, two more things I want to ask you about. Before I get to Tua, I do want to ask you about OBJ. And so they do a lot of 11 personnel with the Rams, and they have an offense and a look. And I do believe they need OBJ now. This is not he's a little icing on the cake. It's like, no, he's part of the cake now. They don't have any depth at wide receiver. They have a rookie out of Notre Dame now that's going to get real – attention. How long will it take? You tell me. 3, 4, 5 practices, 8, 9, 10. What do you expect from OBJ and the Rams, and how long will it take?
Well, early on, before Woods got hurt, I thought he'd be a vertical guy and kind of a slant guy. It's more than that, but that's what you could look for is in the common eye. Just watch him take the top off the defense, play good deep balls because he's a great deep ball threat. Not because of his speed, because of his ball skills. And then a guy that can catch the short pass and run after catch. I still think that'll be the plan these first 2 weeks. I think now you get 10, 15 practices into it, then he takes on more of a possession guy, more of a primary target in their third down package. But it's going to take 2 to 3 weeks to learn the system, get comfortable with all the adjustments. I think these first 2 weeks, look for big balls, so play action shots, deep corners, deep posts, deep crossing routes, the deep over route. And then some quick stuff where he catches the ball and runs after the catch. And then as they work him in through practice, then you're going to see him become what Woods was doing, which is a primary target on third down when Kupp gets double teamed.
All right. Finally, you ran Tua's pro day out of Bama. He had actually a great win Thursday against Baltimore. Where are you now on Tua?
I like what they're doing offensively. They're limited in offensive personnel. So let's start there. And they have a really good young tight end in Gesicki. And they have the receiver from Alabama, Waddle. Two good players to build around, but they don't have 4, 5, 6 guys they can trust on offense. So they're Jimmy rigging a lot of their offense. I love what Charlie Fry, the influence he's had on that offense. You're seeing some of this college flavor with the jet motions, some creative plays, stealing offense is what they call it. When you're not real talented on offense, you got to create some smoke and mirrors to steal yardage. I like what they're doing there. Thought Tua played well. He's still banged up. They haven't built the offense completely. I think this is a year where he learns to play efficiently. He learns to protect the football. He learns to play well in critical downs. And then next year's a year you can add some weaponry to the offense and really grow it. I'm still bullish on Tua. He's just kind of dealing with the short stack right now offensively.
By the way, I either saw a giant cat or a dog behind you. I'm not sure what
it was. A dog. You probably hear her whining too. She's usually really good on these camera shots. She's very jealous right now that I'm not paying attention to her. So
I got a couple of those at home as well. Yes. All right, Trent Dilfer, his podcast is Behind the X's and O's with Trent Dilfer. He's at Nashville, beautiful city. Good seeing you again.
Thanks, brother.
Yeah, I got a couple of those. Boy, if I leave for the day and I have to do stuff and I come back in, my dogs are high maintenance. They need attention all the time. It's just the way it works. Joy with the news.
No. Turn on the news. This is the Herdline News.
I'm still trying to keep my plants alive before I make
into
a pet.
Have you never had a cat?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I had a cat and a dog growing up. We had a German Shepherd and then we had a Rottweiler.
Dogs are more work.
I'm both. Dogs are definitely more work.
Yeah.
Cats, but then the cat thing, depending on where you live, like you have to have the the litter box. Right. So you kind of need like a garage, like somewhere else. So, you know, I'm a self-aware person and I don't want to neglect an animal in any way. So even though like it sounds fun, it's a massive commitment.
Right.
I was very close to doing it last year in lockdown.
Yeah.
Like this close. And then all my plants died and I was like, all right, let's just... That's good. Ryan's laughing at me. Let me graduate to the next step of this.
You know what you are and what you're not.
Exactly. And I'm busy. So Cowboys defensive coordinator Dan Quinn said last week that he was focusing on what it meant to play against his former team. Mm. But after the 43-3 win yesterday, he receives a very nice recognition.
Oh.
This is a fun video.
Now we're presented game ball to Dan Quinn.
Look at that. Coordinators don't get the game ball much.
No, it's really nice. Look, we are in a pretty cutthroat business, and it's all about competition, and wins and losses matter. One game can change the course of not just a coach's career, but their coaching staff's career. So it's, you know, it is a big thing when a coach gets fired. It's not just one person that's being let go.
That's right.
It's an entire staff of
families.
Families have to move. It's a whole thing. It's complicated. And of course, it changes the course of organizations as well. So he said after the game, it was good to have the game done and over with. And the Cowboys only allowed 214 yards of total offense. Matt Ryan was 9 of 21 for 117 yards, no touchdowns, and two interceptions. And we also had a Josh Rosen sighting, who was 1-6 with 14 passing yards and an interception. Quinn, since he's left the Falcons, they are 8-12. They finished last season 4-12 and are currently 4-5 right now. He was fired after an 0-5 start last season. But, you know, he did take Atlanta to the Super Bowl. It was 43-42 record. But this is how it goes. I thought it was a nice moment. And he has done an incredible job with the Cowboys.
Oh,
like, this was the
God.
Biggest question coming into the season outside of Dak is what and how their defense is going to look
because it was
awful last year.
Listen, he's a multiple success story as a coordinator. So we know he's an elite coordinator. The coaching thing is hard. Ask Kyle Shanahan. If you don't have the quarterback writer special, there's a lot. First of all, Josh McDaniels, as good a coordinator as the league has in New England. He tried to be a head coach in Denver. It was a mess. Like, it's hard. This stuff, if you're a great coordinator, you're going to flourish almost always.
Right.
But if you're a head coach, so much is dependent on, is my GM, can he build good line play, and do we have a quarterback? Like, if Kyle Shanahan as a coordinator always made his quarterback's better.
But I also think the coordinators are very important as well, especially when you're a young coach. That's why I think Sean McVay is so brilliant. He brought in a lot of experience. When you're a head coach, not only are you adjusting to a different role with more responsibilities, you're dealing with the owner, you're dealing with the GM, you're dealing with players, you're dealing with press, you're dealing with community events. Like, you're this is the organization, and you're the face of it, even if you do have stars.
Yeah.
So it's a different level of responsibility than a coordinator, obviously. So the Cowboys face the Chiefs on Sunday, and they are 2.5-point underdogs, according to Fox Bet. That is going to be a must-watch game. So Aaron Jones left yesterday 17-0 win over the Seahawks in the third quarter with a knee injury. A source said this morning that the MRI revealed it's a mild MCL sprain. So that's really good. The hope is that he'll only have to miss 1 to 2 weeks. So he reached for his right knee at the end of a 6-yard gain. A.J. Dillon came in at 21 rushes for 66 yards and 2 receptions for 62
receiving
yards.
When he went down, you didn't see like a torque or a twist. So
no, but you know, you never want to see this, which is him being helped off the field. And, you know, he's a running back, so it's, you know, this is scary. But the MRI is good, so hopefully it'll only be 1 to 2 weeks. A.J. Dillon did an incredible job. You seen his quads? AJ Dillon is so big. It's like Saquon and him. Like, I don't want any part of getting run over by those guys.
Yeah.
It was really incredible. Before he went down, he had 7 carries for 25 rushing yards. And obviously their running game is a huge part of what they do. Also, some other injury news as well. Not as good. Chase Young does have a torn ACL, so he is done for the rest of the year, which is not great news. So, a controversial roughing the passer penalty.
Oh, it's the worst call of the year.
Game.
Awful.
Yeah, it was pretty bad. And Sean Payton was asked about the call after the game.
What was the explanation on the roughing the passer play?
No explanation.
So,
there wasn't an explanation. What do you want me to say?
I was just
You want my opinion on it? No, no opinion on it.
It's the worst call of the year.
It does feel like the Saints get these calls a lot.
It was. Listen, I know we all freak out over taunting penalties, but look at this. Now watch this. Now, you can't see the
end
of it.
So it negated a Marcus Williams interception
in
the end zone.
Yeah, and they ended up scoring on that. If you watch the – now watch this.
I mean, yeah, it's an awful call. And generally, I'm with you. I'm not a big complain about the officiating person. They're going to get calls right. They're going to get them wrong. They're humans. It's a – like, we do have replay, but you don't want to stop for replay every 5 minutes. However, I do feel like the officiating this year has been – like every week there's a conversation about something, whether it is the taunting penalties, which again, we discussed and solved, by the way, last week.
He didn't, and here's my thing. It's one thing if you drive a quarterback into the ground.
Right.
Watch the Saints defender. He puts his hands up and he's like, he runs right past him. The referee got bumped the other day harder by the Bear player than
Tannehill. He threw his body into him.
Yeah, like he.
So the problem with this is, if he had hit his head, so that they do penalize if you hit above the neck,
right.
Or if you are, when you're tackling him, if you're already in the motion of tackling him, you have to try and make an effort not to fall on top of them.
Not easy.
Because that's how, no, but that's like if you're a defender and you're going for the quarterback, you know this. This is not a penalty.
No.
It's not a penalty. It wasn't a penalty before they started making this extra bubble of protection for quarterbacks. It's really strong. It's frustrating. I'm sure if you're a Saints fan, obviously we talked a lot about the championship game and lots of calls have not gone their way, but this is just one of those things the league has to look at because we do want the quarterbacks protected, but we've been talking about this the last couple of weeks. You can't legislate all physicality out of a collision sport. Like the defense does have to be able to play a role in wins and losses. And that was massive that it took away an interception. Listen, like it changed the game.
Yeah. In hockey, they got out of the clutching and grabbing years ago, but there's still a need for physicality, intimidation in hockey, clearing, big guy clearing annoying guy away from the goalie.
But also it's a high-speed game. Like, what is the defender supposed to do in that spot? You can't screech to a halt. We're watching things in slow motion. It makes it seem like he'd have the opportunity not to hit him, and he didn't.
Yeah. Joy with the news.
Well, that's the news.
And thanks for stopping by.
The Herd Line News. Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
Hey, it's Ben, host of The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller, along with my trusty sidekick, David Gascon. Would mean a lot to have you join us on our weekly auditory journey. You're asking, what in God's name is The Fifth Hour? I'll tell you, it's a spinoff of The Ben Maller Show, a cult hit overnights on FSR. Why should you listen? Picture, if you will, a world where we chat with captains of industry in media, sports, and more every week. Explore some amazing facts about human nature and more. Listen to The Fifth Hour with Ben Maller on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Black Friday, celebrate softness season with your favorite Tommy John underwear this Black Friday. Softness season, pajamas, loungewear, 20% off. Go to TommyJohn.com/herd. I'm wearing it right now. Mac Jones came from a demanding college coach, and now he has a demanding NFL coach, and it's been perfect. Every joy is my witness. Anybody that's ever worked with me knows I'm hard on quarterbacks, and I will question your maturity. I don't care if you're a wide receiver. I don't care what your wonderlic score is in your position. I don't care if you're a goofball in college. I really don't, except if you're a quarterback, and then I'm going to be really hard on you, Cam, and Johnny Manziel, and Baker, and Jameis Winston. I'm going to sound mean. Because you have to be ready to play. Wide receivers can bounce around the league. Their third stop, they can be stars. NFL, you get one shot. Drew Brees, the exception. First one doesn't go well. You're labeled. You're done. We're moving on. Sam Darnold got a second shot. It's over. He's a backup. It's the way the world works. Even Cam Newton. New England took him reluctantly. Not really committed to him. So when Baker Mayfield's doing silly stuff in college or Jameis Winston or Johnny Manziel, I'm really hard. Because Mac Jones is a reason why. Demanding system, 22-year-old kid. They give him the starting quarterback position in New England. This is a grown-up organization. And he's ready to play. This is why I rip quarterbacks who are idiots in college. I don't care if you're a wide receiver, a cornerback. Do whatever you want. Seriously. We're all goofy in college. But on quarterbacks, you got to be able to run a franchise day one. I know, I don't care about your background. I don't care about mom. I don't care about. Are you ready to go? A lot of kids get money from their parents, but are you ready to handle it at 22? Like, that's the difference. If your mom and dad give you the bag at 22 years old, you know, $8 million, and you're out there drinking White Claws, partying, bad investments, you don't get a second chance with it. They're not giving you $8 million again. And you only get one shot at this. And Mac Jones is why he's great at the podium. He doesn't make dumb mistakes. Yes, he landed in a better spot. No question about that. They're not demanding like they are, you know, a Justin Herbert with a bad O-line last year. Yeah, we all know that. This is a better place to land. But I don't think Baker could have handled this. I don't think Johnny Manziel would have handled it like this. I don't think Jameis Winston would have handled it like this. This is why I'm rough on quarterbacks, because you can win in this league. You can win early. But you have to be a grown-up, and Mac Jones is. He's great at the podium. He gets better every week. You know, first month, he made some really bad rookie throws. But he's a mature kid. He got better fast. He got those out of his system. I feel like I'm watching a little bit of Justin Herbert without quite the arm. Joe Burrow, Mahomes. We asked a lot of Mahomes. Andy Reid's system's not easy. We'll let you sit for about 1 year. You ready to be a star? Because we got all these players around you. You ready to be a star? Mahomes is ready to go. Mahomes is ready to go. I always say about Mahomes, just listen to guys at podiums. Mahomes isn't calling out medical staff, not getting in trouble in college. His problem was inconsistency, got the right coach. So, by the way, since the second half of the Texans game, Mac Jones is completing 68% of his throws, 104 passer rating, with almost no picks. You got one shot at this. Now I can give you a second one. Not a wide receiver, corner, Mike linebacker, guard. Get one shot. Be ready to play at 22. I watched Kansas City and the Raiders last night. You know, it is interesting. Backup quarterbacks and interim head coaches. You can fool people for about 2 weeks. Everybody catches up, right? And the last 2 weeks for the Raiders have been tough. They've had tragedies and they've had chaos. And they have a coach who's learning to be a head coach. And it's just way too much. And now the Raiders are what they are. One of the reasons I have always defended Derek Carr is because the Raiders brand is big. It's a big brand, right? You kind of forget they're the Cleveland Browns and the Detroit Lions. That's what they are. That's what Derek Carr is overcoming. Since their last Super Bowl in 2002, they have only had one season. One. With eight or more wins. They're Cleveland. They've had one playoff in 19 years. Ownership, literally and figuratively, poor. It's poor ownership. Front office has been, in the last 20 years, chaos. Head coach, weird hires. You add in this year's chaos and tragedy, and Mahomes and Justin Herbert in this division, and the Raiders brand, it's better than reality. It's a bottom five franchise. With a really Lloyd loud fan base in a cool city with a cool stadium. But in the last 19 years, the Raiders have the second worst winning percentage to Cleveland in the league. Now, they occasionally fool us because the brand's big and Vegas is cool and the Raiders logo and they've had some star players. But go look at their last three or four drafts, their last coaching hire, their front office dysfunction, the ownership situation. That is why I give Derek Carr credit. How many quarterbacks, why Matt Stafford deserves credit. You watch Matt Stafford now with a functional organization, you're like, oh my God, he could be the MVP of the league. This is why for years and years, you know, we always criticize, you know, the Cowboys, they're overrated, but let's be honest about the Cowboys. They've had that 1 year Tony Romo got hurt. There's almost no chaos. You didn't love Jason Garrett. They were always viable. They get to the playoffs. They can compete for wild card spots and division titles. So I always think, like I said about Mac Jones, yes, he inherited a better spot than, you know, Baker did or Justin Fields or Justin Herbert, right? But Mac deserves credit because he's mature and ready to roll day one in the organization. And this is where I'll defend Derek Carr. You don't think this is the Lions. You don't think this is the Browns. That's exactly what it is. And then you add on the tragedy with Henry Ruggs, the situation where the young player in kicked off the team for a bad social media post. You know, he's a kid. He did something unfortunate. Now you got an interim coach. So, you know, I watched that game last night, and there was as many Chiefs fans, it felt like, in the building. And I just think, and I'm not saying Mahomes isn't better than Derek Carr, but they're both really good. One has Andy Reid. One has great ownership. One has Brett Veach, the GM. One rebuilt their offensive line in 45 minutes. Like, it matters where you land, like obviously. But that is why I defend Derek Carr, is that, you know, I watched them last night, and you know what they feel like? The last 19 years. They fool us. Big win. Some flashy players. Oh, my gosh. That's what they are. Last 19 years. Second worst winning percentage in the league. We got to be honest about it. Derek Carr is the life preserver here. Or it would be worse. Hour 3. Good stuff. Ron Rivera stopping by the Herd.